David Earl, Director of End User Services at TSA.
Okay, let's start with the scope of end user services of the end users and the types of services your division supplies to them.
So, I'm responsible for the support, IT support across our 450 airports, about 600 sites when you look at offsites, domestically, internationally. We range from the computer on your desk, cell phone in your hand, the LMR radios at the checkpoint. We also provide all the circuit connectivity to the sites along with buying all the software for the enterprise. Both class and unclass side.
Sure. And what is the typical device load of, say, a transportation security officer, which are in a facility, but in some sense they're mobile also because they're walking around?
Correct. It's interesting. We obviously have, I think we're close to 50,000 mark of employees. We only have about 35,000 laptops. We obviously have more employees than we have available laptops. So our TSOs that you see at the checkpoints, they use shared devices in their training rooms at the checkpoint. We don't give them cell phones. The first level we give a cellular device to is our supervisory TSOs. They leverage some of our iPhones. We just did that in the last year and a half. We deployed about 5,000 iPhones out to those supervisory TSOs.
So is the idea that you really can't have distractions for the people on the line when they're working?
And 100%.
Got it. And in the course of the work itself, I mean, there's lots of devices they're peering at and people looking at and so on. Is there any mobile or device connection associated with the user in relation to doing the screening job right on the line there?
Not at the moment that I know of. I mean, the supervisors are where the TSOs lean back to if they have to go look something up or need information on our SOP. To that point, though, we are looking to get devices out to that edge. So there is the availability for a TSO to go to, say, let's like a tablet, so they can go search that SOP. And as we get smarter with some AI, looking at answer engines, that they could type in a prompt to get some feedback from that SOP on the direct question they're looking for.
And what about connectivity otherwise, aside from the mobile devices that they don't generally have on the line or the people in the laptops and so forth? What do you have in those bubbles that are the airports?
So we hardwire everything into the checkpoint. All the technology from our laptops to our TSE, the transportation security equipment, that's all hardwired currently. The TSE is not currently connected, but we've wired out there in the future to look to connect that as we work through the cybersecurity concerns with those. But it is hardwired. We are looking with some of our new, some of the new things we're looking at to bring in 5G from a cellular level on some of our tablets. On our latest buy, our tablets, we ensured they were enabled to connect via 5G. So we do see that as kind of the future. It gives us more flexibility and the TSOs more flexibility where they can connect.
Yeah, 5G gets talked about a lot. And I think for the consumer, it was a way of making them think things are going to be much faster on downloads and this kind of thing. What do you see, if any, as the advantages for 5G from the corporate or enterprise standpoint?
I see the advantages for us at TSA. It allows me to get data out to that edge, right, for those decisions that need to be made at our edge. A TSO looking up, like I mentioned earlier, an SOP or reaching back to an expert, it gives me the flexibility to have that data pushed down to those TSOs, and at the same time pulling it back We get data from the equipment sitting at the checkpoint. The quicker I can get that data back, the quicker the leadership at TSA can make decisions. Even at the local level, getting data back from those devices, from the line count, that FSD, that federal security director can make decisions if they open another checkpoint, open another lane, such as that.
Sure, and maybe give us a sense of the levels of data that go back. I mean, originally reach back wireless data, say for the Burger King in the airport, they use something, the Mobitext network. I think it's been taken down, but it was all, you know, low volume text mm-hmm. data. I'm thinking you probably have a little richer and larger data sets.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's pulling throughput. It's pulling, statistics off those machines, how many scans went through, how many, that's the data, I was talking about. There is the opportunity to pull some of the image data, but that pipe would need to be, is a lot bigger. Not sure 5G is set up to pull the image data, at this time. So that's where we're looking. We focused on our wired infrastructure.
Got it. So for the wireless, then you're looking at almost operational, not metadata, but just statistics about what's been going on without necessarily the content of what's been going on.
Yep.
Okay. And, well, what about cybersecurity? Because you've got, a mixed hybrid infrastructure, if you will, at those locations, and we're going to, concentrate on those locations. We'll have to talk about the headquarters too, but at the locations with the mobile devices, that are used and the machinery that's using the 5G for reach back, what's your cyber strategy there?
We have a 24/7 SOC operations that monitor our network. It's been certified as a center of excellence by DHS. They monitor the network, our edge devices. TSA is the first security operations center in DHS to receive that certification. So we are one of the best in the department. We have an incident response process that routinely rehearses to rapid and seamlessly respond to any incidents. We look at supply chain. I think there's some supply chain with 5G, but we do monitor that supply chain. We have a testing facility at our TSIF location that complements what we do in IT for the operational technology and testing. We've also adopted the NIST SP 853 Revision 5 that includes the supply chain controls as part of our assessments for authority to operate in our RMF framework, creating a culture of evaluating supply chain risk at all systems holistically.
Right. So then the cybersecurity then extends back into that supply chain because you buy a lot of gear and the gear is
correct.
Complex. There's a lot of circuit ports in those things. And so that would be.
We are reviewing it all.
Got it. And what about the load of applications and so on the mobile devices? How do you limit that and do you subdivide the devices into virtual zones or what's your strategy there?
So for our true cellular mobile devices, we don't do much, but with the upcoming connection of our tablets and our laptops, desktops in the environment, we do leverage the QoS, service. We put our mission essential services first. We make sure they get the bandwidth that is needed. And then we work our way through the non-essential services, making sure the capacity is there.
Is there any dynamic that happens just because, again, at the airports, 10,000 people an hour are going through there and they all have mobile devices? Is there crosstalk issues? Are there sniffing issues? Or is that really kind of outside something you need to worry about?
I think cybersecurity is always important. So I would say always think there's someone trying to look at your device. We try to preach that, OPSEC, make sure you're aware of your surroundings and what you're connecting to. We do on our devices, we use an MDM, so we do containerize what's on our devices. So we do believe we're pretty secure with that container in place. And we do have a you know, we do monitor the traffic using an MTD software, so we can see people or see if there is any intrusions into the devices. We have not seen any crosstalk yet.
Right. And I guess, you know, people, if they thought were found to be doing that, that would be like having a gun in your suitcase. You'd be stopped.
Yes.
All right. And let's talk about headquarters or non-airport locations, because there is a big administrative tail to an agency like TSA. What's the mobile device strategy there and the connectivity? Let's talk about that for a minute.
So like I mentioned, we have 450 airports, but 600 locations. So that administrative tail is big. We have about 3,500 users at our headquarters location. We did work with our one of our cell vendors. They did wire our building at headquarters for expanded 5G. So we do have the ability throughout our headquarters to connect 5G, which is nice. When you know you're connecting your cell phones, you get that better download. And when we do move to some tablets, that will be available throughout headquarters. Similar architecture to the airports, almost all of our stuff is wired. We do offer 802.11 Wi-Fi at headquarters and a handful of other sites, but most of it's all wired. And majority of users, if not all of the administrator users, use laptops.
And can you envision the localized 5G build out as something that could replace Wi-Fi? Or are you running into limitations on Wi-Fi?
I do think it's something that could replace Wi-Fi in the future. Where I really like the use of it, I was at an event the other day. We obviously with the hurricane season, especially in Asheville, 5G, everything kind of went down. With the devastation, we were able to send down one of our LEO satellite kits to bring up connectivity. What we're exploring is if we can use that as a backbone to get to private 5G, so then I can give them that cell service at the site and they can come back and be operational, you know, within hours of getting that kit. So that's where I see some of the advantages, particularly with some private 5G. If we could stand that up, we can get our sites up quicker when they go down hard with natural disasters.
And how does that work, the idea of private 5G? Because you think of the carriers and the people that use the carriers to offer their own service. There's a lot of, ultimately, it's all the major carriers that have the 5G signals going around. How do you, mm-hmm. how do you get your private, what's the setup there?
So we would have to work with the carriers in the example I gave, either working with them to get, you know, the ability for their phones to pick up our 5G, unlocking those phones in essence, or getting, you know, 5G routers through them that would, we would then use our backbone to transmit their signal for our users.
So you can kind of subdivide it and make, I guess, almost a virtual private network through the 5G?
Yeah, that's what we do now with our, with our laptops and our mobile devices, we do connect, we do establish VPN tunnels with everything.
And what about visitors? Can they use the localized 5G, or are they on their own, or they just, you give them the Wi-Fi password?
So that's where I like the idea of using that in the example of the disaster recovery, that LEO satellite, I can then parse off, you know, the public Wi-Fi side of it. So guests could come in and use that. Not touch our network in essence. So you'd have two signals going out. We'd VPN on one side and then the second would come out as for guest. And we do that at our headquarters. We have a separate connection for guest that can connect anywhere in our building.
That's Wi-Fi and 5G?
Correct. Since our carrier came in and did it, it's not a government 5G in the building. Any guest can pick up that signal in our building.
Yes, because... So there's an infrastructure you have to have, though, so that the signal is ubiquitously available, fair to say.
Correct.
And getting back to the airports, for the citizens, they've got Wi-Fi in airports and so forth. But you're pretty deep in the building sometimes for TSA purposes. And for those things that are not hardwired, as you described, do you have that same type of infrastructure, say, overhead in the ceiling just for TSA use?
No, so I mean, you're hitting a great point that we are struggling to find that solution, because we are in the bowels of the airport. You know, the bag checks are in the basement. You know, even getting our LMR to connect, we have repeaters all over the airport, right? So it's going to have to be a similar solution, I envision, looking at that wireless, looking at that 5G, to get that to where we need it. Yeah, checkpoints wide open, but to your earlier point of crosstalk, you know, I have to protect that signal in a wide open arena. I can use the public Wi-Fi, but then it's, again, do we trust that Wi-Fi? Do I trust that connection instead of bringing in my own connection? VPN is a mitigation to trusting that trusting the untrusted connection. But the government likes, you know, would much rather have its own connection.
Sure. And if the public knew you were using the same one as them, that might invite the kinds of things that people might be figuring, well, I'm not going to bother at this point.
And that's why we currently have everything wired.
Yeah, I guess you can clip something on a wire and sniff it off, but then you got to get up in the ceiling and figure out which wire. And I guess in an airport ceiling, there's probably 1,000 wires running through there.
I don't know if you've ever been in the bowels of an airport, but it's pretty crazy to see what is there. You are correct. There's thousands of wires running.
Well, I know what we have on a radio station overhead, and they're external in some places. And I don't think our guys know which wire is which anymore. Once that they're in, they're in. And probably, you know, a lot of redundancy there. And let's get back to the idea of field sensors and machine-generated data, this Internet of Things. Those devices and the things you're buying from manufacturers, are they equipped to communicate with 5G at this point? I mean, it took long enough for them to get Wi-Fi aboard.
Correct, and not currently. You know, we are still struggling to get them connected wired with some of the technology that's built into them from a cybersecurity perspective. So we're still struggling to get a wired connection in there. I do hope as future versions of that equipment and manufacturers do go down that road of at least putting the capability similar to how we saw it with our latest hardware buy, enabling it, not saying we have to turn it on, but putting it in there. So in the future, if we can get to that, it is available. But that is one of our issues right now, is it's not currently available on those devices, kind of the Internet of Things and the operational technology.
Right. And thinking about that idea of getting the signal for whatever purpose deep into the bowels of the airport, in so many of the large airports across the country, TSA could be upstairs and Customs and Border Protection downstairs. Is there any opportunity to kind of combine your resources or combine your techniques? Maybe they've got to figure out, I don't know, but you could glom onto what they're doing or vice versa.
We are constantly collaborating with our partners in DHS. You know, we got the LEO satellite connectivity from our partners at CBP. They were using it, so we jumped on and kind of looked at the same stuff. So we do have a constant dialogue going back and forth to help solve common problems, like you said. TSA is a little unique with the number of operational technology we have out at the airports, right? You know, all those devices out there. You know, I know CBP and some of the border stuff, they have some of that, but at the scale we have, you know, it's a tough lift to get connected.
Right. And they're doing something fundamentally different downstairs than you're doing upstairs, taking in the passengers.
Right. Yep.
And this might be useful to any federal office that is leased, since TSA doesn't own the airports. What's required to negotiate with them, say, if you want to drill a hole, say, you know, or run 5 new strands up in that ceiling? Can you just do it, or does it require negotiation and planning?
No, that's another great point. We can't just do it. We are leasing that space, you know, from either the local airport authority, the local municipality, And we have to get permits just like you would at doing it at your house. We can't just go in and pull up their tile and run wire. So we have to go through a process every single time we change that footprint. So if we reconfigure a checkpoint, we're going and getting permitting, we're redoing wiring. So I wish it was, you know, hey, we need this wire over at checkpoint B. I could go pull it myself, but I have to get, you know, like I said, permits, local approval, inspections. Sometimes I can't even run the fiber. I have to do fiber leases through the airport authority. So it's a, and it's a saying we have is if you've been to one airport, you've been to one airport. It differs at every airport. So it's a really fun management exercise.
And presuming that you use contractors to actually do the work, do you run into the idea of approved contractors by the airport and maybe having to pay union wages that are much higher than you could probably get in Wichita or something?
Correct. So we do have a managed service provider that helps us, you know, negotiate some of those projects. But we get a proposal back and, you know, it could be higher in one state than the other based on politics and unionization of the employees around there. So yeah, it's a mixed bag across the country.
Yeah, it's like plugging in an electrical outlet at a trade show in New York. You don't do it.
100%.
There could be a work stoppage and that's the end of the convention.
I mean, and kind of the other extreme, you know, we have to fly people in for like Alaska. So there's the cost of flights, you know, there's those remote locations that we have to be there to provide that commercial aviation or enable the commercial aviation. We have to fly people in to make sure we do secure that aviation, even at the smallest airport, you know, in the most remote location in Alaska.
Yes, because if you can imagine something happening, then so can the bad guys.
Correct.
Well, just to wrap it up, maybe give us a sense of how you envision your infrastructure to be made up, you know, with respect to Wi-Fi, wired, 5G, and so forth. What's your end state vision, say, for the next several years?
I really would love us to see incorporate some 5G, incorporate wireless at our sites, because I do believe that will give us the maximum amount of flexibility and the ability to get that data, like I mentioned earlier, to the pull and push of data from the edge. There's so much data out there that we aren't harnessing at a real-time effort because we're either having to write it down and then go transcribe it somewhere else. Getting these devices, getting this stuff connected enables us to make decisions faster from an agency perspective. And in turn, you know, it makes the traveling public safer because we're able to see and make decisions faster based on real-time data.
But being the end services user and the IT kind of provider to TSA, that sounds like a tall lift job.
It is. It is not a simple feat. I probably oversimplified it in my description there, but I do think it's doable down the road. It's going to take some effort, take some collaboration and, you know, across industry and government to make that happen. But I do believe it's something we can get to.